Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking at Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast. Come and get your podcast.
We're back. We had a week off. Well, I was prepared to record, but I was Billy and no mates last week, and I can't remember. Where was everyone? I know, obviously, Nigel was preparing for his daughter's wedding.
He was. I was just a bit off form.
We were a bit hot and bothered, weren't we? And, you know,
I'm slightly
the booches were bothered. Being boochish. So there we go. We had a week off. But we're back. We're back to talk about no transfers. Back with me tonight. Oh, by the way, season 10, and I think it's episode 53, but it could be episode 54. I will have to check. I'm a little bit out of kilter. Back this week, following giving away his daughter. It's Shedman. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Now, usually I'd play the Shedman jingle, but I haven't actually loaded it. So sorry for that. Oh. And apologies, by the way, if my microphone, or you hear breathing, just before we came on air, I broke my microphone. So I'm sort of holding it together with sellotape. So apologies for any sound quality from me tonight, because I'm holding my microphone together with sticky tape, and my headphones have got a clicking noise in. I know you can't hear that, but I can hear that. So early apologies. Also back by popular demand, it's Canning Town. Len, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in the lounge today. I'm just after not doing a lot today, so I haven't felt great. I'm doing a podcast with you.
Yeah, apologies, Len.
In for a penny and all that.
Apologies, Len. I called you, didn't I, last week, and made you drop a artboard.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Did you save it, or did you have to start again?
No, I had to start again.
Oh.
So, it was, I told you it was, and I can't remember who
Nick Harvey.
It was Nick Harvey's, yeah. I just finished it. It's my own fault, because I'll get the cutting board out and I'll put everything on it. And I just about to put it in its cellophane bag, and the phone rang and I dropped the art board.
Apologies. Sort of, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You didn't mean to. You're not, you know. You want to know.
Do I owe you anything?
Nah, it's all right. I just redone it from Nick Harvey.
Now, I did, thank you, Nigel, for inviting me to be a guest at your daughter's wedding. There were a lot of fans for from the podcast at your wedding, weren't there? You're not your family. I met your mum.
So you said, to be honest, they never told me.
Met your two sisters. Met other people that remain nameless that were podcast. You know, it was a bit... John and I was a little bit of celeb status at there. Somebody did ask whether John was getting down Lynn, though. Sorry, Lynn, but...
That's all right.
Oh, sorry, John, though, whichever way you
but
want
that was before they heard John speak, so that was just as he turned up. So.
Yeah, I think we're an item. We did write on the card to your daughter, John and Sean, not a couple.
Right.
We wanted to make it clear.
I've not seen
not
it yet.
There's anything wrong with that. And you finally got your memorabilia after a six-year wait.
Yeah, I got my wedding present. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good.
You did the full, the full build up to it, and
I did. and I don't know if you remember, I did 15 minutes explaining each item to a crowd of onlookers. Some of which were not West Ham.
No, and quite a few were shaking their head, thinking, "What a couple of idiots!"
Yeah. What's your mum's name? Remind me.
Mum.
No, what's
her
name?
I call her Ma. To be fair.
Ma, what's her name though?
Like Nick to Doc Cotton. What's her name?
Yeah.
Carol.
Carol. Hello, Carol. Yeah. Good to meet you. And
you had a right old bunny with her, didn't you?
We had a good old chat.
I turn around, I'm thinking, like 15 minutes later, still talking.
You're going, get him away. But it's good to meet you, Ron. Anyway, we're back on the podcast. It's a football podcast. We better talk about football. Did yous twos watch the Celtic game? Let's start with you, Len. Did you watch the Celtic game?
No, I never.
You had a code, mate. You had a code.
No, hang on a minute. Whoa. I'll stop there, right? And this is a sign of things to come. If you're a working man and you get an email at 6:22 p.m. on the Friday, you don't check your emails at that time. It was in my junk box as well.
Yeah.
You don't check your emails, and then they've got the gall to write, oh, you got to sort of register in advance. If you don't want me to log in to make your stream work better.
I don't think you did need to register in advance.
Well, it said it. I mean, you need to register in advance.
I mean, to be honest, although I registered, I watched it on the Bosch app. So, a good old mate, Woody. Premier Sports coverage was better, I thought. Although I think it was the same coverage, but,
But the thing is, just giving us what would have been 18 hours notice, that's not great, is it, from the club?
It's not.
I'm talking to a brick wall. But the short answer, no.
You didn't watch the game.
No, I saw the highlights.
Nigel, did you get time to watch Celtic?
No, because as you know, didn't I tell you I was having an eye test?
You did say you didn't watch it. I couldn't remember you having an eye test.
I've seen the goals. I was in Specsavers at Lakeside.
Oh.
Which for the first time ever, your updates come in handy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I must admit, that's possibly for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I've been in one of the WhatsApp groups. Your constant updates were like, oh, right.
Well, we remain unbeaten, and I'm sure everyone knows we won 6-2. But I thought it was a good run out, and it showed that. And I forget who said this on the WhatsApp group, but someone did it. I think it was Dave who said, "It's like Celtic have never seen anyone counter on the attack before," and it was a bit like that. And I know they paid a bit of youth, but Antonio was just immense, All right, we went one goal down because of a mistake from Lanzini. But, both Bowen and Antonio came really close to, their goalkeeper, I forget his name, just keeping him out any other time, I think, would have been in goal. And then, I think, 23 minutes, Antonio gets his first goal. He just runs in front of those two centre-backs. Followed by a second goal. And then, the floodgates open. I think they got one back. Obviously, Fredericks made a mistake, but second half, Darren Randolph made a howler. He really doesn't give me a lot of confidence. Sorry, Darren Randolph, but you don't give me a lot of confidence.
I must admit, I didn't. I mean, typical people always blame the keeper.
here we go. Goalkeeper, I mean,
hold up. But the shot was like from 5 or 4 yards at him. The defender should never have allowed the attacker to get in front of him. And so if you're going to apportion blame, I mean, no, he didn't cover himself in glory. But, I mean, he pushed it onto the post and then it went in.
Yeah.
You know, so we're talking he's like 2 inches away from pulling off a blinding save. So he's either pulled off a weldy or you're blaming him because he sort of scuffed it in.
I'm blaming him.
Well, there you go. But where I think he was unfortunate. I mean, Fredericks, if you think of the reaction team.
I don't think Fredericks had a good game, and he, you know, we missed Soufau as well, and I'll also have a go at Cresswell. He looked out of form, off the pace, sluggish, but pretty much everyone else had a really decent game. You know, Benrahma got his goal, made an assist. He did everything. He looked like a new signing, as Dave would say. And you know, Bowen also had a good game and got his goal. Interesting enough, Bowen started the game, but when Antonio came off on like 72 minutes, he got put up front, maybe a sign of things to come as a striker, and within 2 minutes of being made the striker up front, scored a goal. Don't need a striker, do we?
I mean, I don't know if we can briefly chat about strengths and weaknesses, but the thing I take, I've only seen the highlights
goals
of the goals.
Goals are fun. Goals are fun.
So, yeah, it was good to see the goal scoring, players chipping in, and it shows I don't take friendly serious as a rule as to what it will how it does for the season. But if you are scoring that many goals, then it does show that the team is still forward thinking in its outlook. So there's lots of, you know, we can be happy with the way we're progressing. Obviously, you know, the panic button's been hit on Twitter in certain sections for the lack of signings. So, you know, we do need another striker. I still maintain it's got to be the same ilk of Antonio.
Later, we're going to talk about Bowen and that ridiculous rumour. We're going to talk about the transfer and the market. But we're finished on the friendly. And obviously the last goal was Oko, is it Oko? Oko Flex? I don't know if that. Armstrong Oko Flex. A youngster who joined as a free transfer from Celtic. Got booed. Shut the crowd up by scoring West Ham 6. And literally, fire drill. They started leaving in their droves. They didn't like that. But it was a great entertaining game to see. And I think there was a bit of, you know, remember Celtic are way ahead of us. They've already started their competitive games for Champions League qualification. So, you know, it's not like, but equally, I think they were probably resting them because I think they play on Wednesday. But I thought it was a great, great spectacle. We remain unbeaten. I know it doesn't mean anything. We play the Bees next Saturday, then it's the Betway Cup, and then we start. Anything to add, Nigel, seeing you only saw the highlights?
No, I was pleased Antonio looked good. The two
very
goals,
sharp, very he won, very
yeah, won,
pace.
Won the penalty, which I thought was a tad harsh, maybe, but still.
He did make a meal of it.
Yeah, it was good play from whoever was out wide left, pulled the ball back into his run. So, all told, yeah,
only downside to the whole thing, really, apart from me just having a go at Randolph, Cresswell and Fredericks, is we lost Ogbonna after 5 minutes. You know, he pulls up with a hamstring. He had a scan today, Monday. I haven't got results of that scan, but it's not looking too good. It looks like he felt his hamstring go. You know, it's all, you know, is it grade 1, 2, 3? What? How bad is it? You know, it's not the kind of thing.
I don't know. You tell us.
We don't know yet. I don't know. Uh-huh. As we come on air, I haven't got the head of medical has not briefed me yet. Funny enough, when I asked just before we came on air, we don't know. Len, Have you got anything to add on our trip to Glasgow?
Yeah, I think we look great.
Good.
I want to sort of mention the playing style. That ball don't leave the floor much these days, does it?
Hey?
Eh?
Yeah. No, I thought it was quite attacking. It was attacking style.
Yeah. After you take your word for it, the 8 minutes I saw we were attacking. It's strange because every time they showed a highlight and Celtic were on the attack, after a while, you wasn't sure if it was going to be one of their goals or one of ours.
Yeah.
Because every time they showed Celtic going forward, we counted them and whipped their ass.
I mean, you've got to remember, we're still missing four players. You know, Yarmolenko's just returned to London. Suchek is still in Prague. He just bought a car on his way back. Suchek is on his way back from Prague. I think he's back in the country now. Declan Rice is in Ibiza after moving on from Mykonos and not due back for another week. So, you know, four of our best players, arguably, were still not in that team, and we didn't look half bad, you know. Even Lanzini, I thought, looked quite good. But apart from the mistake, I thought Lanzini looked quite, you know, as I say, beyond the three I mentioned, I thought everyone looked good. Fabianski looked very comfortable as well in the first half in goal. I couldn't be blamed for the McGregor goal. So, pleased, you know. Either of you two one of the lucky 500? Have you been lucky in the ballot for the Brentford game?
No, it was a ballot.
I'm playing foot golf this Saturday, so I've got a reunion with my old football team boys. Yeah. So
I just want to say, just for the people who say I'm lucky in every ballot, I wasn't lucky in the Brentford ballot.
To be fair, looking at it, I think I had enough
life for it, but that's not the point. Why do you always have to spoil everything?
I had enough points, I think. Anyway, to get I've got 25 points.
Oh wow!
I believe.
Wow.
So
what did it sell out at?
I don't know, because they did so many to away seasons to get holders. Then I think it was a wave. I thought they were over.
I mean, it went to bond holders first, right?
Season ticket holders with over 500. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's West Ham in the Brentford end from what I've seen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's the
way,
very first
you saw the
game, isn't it?
West Ham fans in the Celtic end, and they were in the pub in the Bristol Bar, which is a Rangers pub, quite a loyalist pub, I hear.
But well, I don't go into all that crap, so that's why I stick with Patrick Thistle. this is the very, before you rudely interrupted me, I'll just point it out again. This is the very first game at Brentford's new stadium with fans in attendance.
Yeah, so I hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so, we've got... Are you going to the Betway Cup after that?
Perhaps Stelios can get me a programme, because I'm pretty sure Stelios is going.
Oh, is he?
Well, it's his local game, isn't it? He's a tanner for Brentford.
Still abroad in wherever he is.
He'd have finished eating his cake. He'd have left the world's most dangerous airport, the Cristiano Ronaldo.
Where was he?
Madeira.
Madeira. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been to Madeira.
Come on,
I used to have an office in Madeira, and you're right, landing on that is really... Have you been there? It's really scary. It's like they've built this runway out on the sea, on the rocks. You come in and you land on this runway built out in the rocks in Madeira. But yeah,
I've always found the Portuguese... culture with cake strange. You wouldn't think they were a cake eating race, but they invented the custard tart as well.
Did they?
You know, that comes from Portugal. Yeah.
So, in there. Betway Cup, either of you? Betway Cup?
No, I'm going to see how I feel, to be honest.
Yeah,
I haven't booked it yet, but I might do.
I've got no love for it, I must admit. We're normally... I would be all over it like a rash.
Yeah, we've got that fix at the Southampton game. By the way, I read a report, you know, in the minutes of the stadium owners. How many people out of 10,000 you reckon turned up for that game?
12,000?
No. Why would it be 12,000 if it was a limit of 10,000?
Well, according to Wembley, only 60,000 were in the ground for the final one. There was a lot more.
You haven't... Didn't... have a guess, Jay.
How many were in the ground for what? The Celtic?
Southampton.
Southampton West Ham game at the end of the season.
It was 10,000, wasn't it?
12,000. Well, yeah, how many actually turned up?
10,000.
No. 9,006. True fact. Ah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not really interesting. But they did say in there, and I wrote a story about this today, that they found that the wearing of masks was sporadic and in full. Enforcement of wearing masks was difficult. I do love it.
You wait till the enforcement of keeping people out who ain't got their tickets next year.
There's a lot of people worrying about after September, you know, having this COVID passport. No COVID passport, you don't come in and watch a Premier League game, which seems to be both government and Premier League led. A lot of people are saying, well, that's my civil liberties taken away. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. Being a double jab person myself and not a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, is going to a football game or going to a nightclub or going to a music concert part of your liberties? You know, is it your human right to be able to go to those three events? And are your human rights being taken away if you have to be double jabbed to go to one of them? I don't know the answer, by the way, but I'm interested if one of you twos does.
I think that, first of all, I'd like to point out that our Madeira cake comes from England and doesn't come from Portugal. Secondly, I just think we just got to start respecting other people's opinions. There's no right or wrong answer to it. And especially as we've gone through like 17 months of this now, of being locked down, 17, 18 months maybe, that I think we're going to... I mean, speaking for me, I'm going to come out of this different from when I went in it, I feel, actually. Because... seems to have affected me more than I thought I would. So I'm looking forward to moving on from it and not sort of hearing what people think about it. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I've had two jabs and the common sense sort of and tells me have the fucking jabs. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no point There's no point being a COVID denier. You just might as well just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and I understand people with medical exemptions won't be an issue, so they're a bit loud. But they're just saying if you've made a decision.
What you're asking me about, should they be in the ground? I'm glad it's not my problem.
Yeah,
to be honest,
the rebel in me says, you know, it's a bit off that you're forcing people, you know?
I mean, I don't like compulsory jab. It's like the government's doing this move. They don't want to have compulsory jabs, but they're going to bring in so many restrictions. So I don't want compulsory jabs. I think that it's right that if you choose not to have a jab, that certain businesses can say, well, we're not going to have you here or whatever. But in the open air, see, if it was like a nightclub or something like that internal, I can understand it. But in the open air, I can't. I don't know if there could be a compromise where if you're not jabbed, then you would wear a mask.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So, or like the mask would be compulsory. So if you go football, I don't want to exclude people from going football because they've chosen not to have a jab.
I
understand the people, you know, normally it takes years to do vaccines. This hasn't, you know, I took the choice to have it because I took the gamble that I'd rather risk that whatever they're putting into me, it's safer than getting what it's trying to protect me from.
Yeah.
And having seen people with COVID in a bad way, I feel that I've done the right position, but I fully support people in the right not to have it at the end of the day. But I would say to those people, you are going to have certain things imposed on you, but it should be done on an individual on an individual company basis. Not, I don't like this Premier League wide or FA wide diktats. And why is it okay to go to a football game on September the 31st without it, but October the 1st you got to have it? This, you know, it's the stupidity of it, but I don't want to get too political, really.
Look, I'm an advocate of it. I know a lot of people that are anti-vax and etc., and it's freedom of choice and their own opinion. All I say is I know a number of people who had health conditions that were quite old and that died. I know three people that died during the first wave. More recently, a West Ham fan who's known to this podcast, who first gave me COVID back in February 2020. It has got COVID and he's very poorly. So Leon Hyde, who used to be the DJ or a DJ at West Ham, has got pneumonia. He's been in hospital with COVID. So get well soon.
Get well, Leon.
He decided not to have a jab and he's regretting it now, seriously. And more recently, and I'm not going to name the person, I know as somebody this week, that was at my company who died with only 38 years old. And so, you know, it affects everybody. And look, there's all individual and you look at your own risk on whether you're taking a risk, take a COVID jab or not. But, you know, I just, when it comes back to football, people have to make their own decision and some of those freedoms might be taken away. And we're just, you know, we can't change anything on this podcast or anywhere else. We're just going to go with it in the same way we went with everything that's gone so far. And it looks like digital season tickets are here to say. The campaign has continued since the last time we talked. It's come to nothing, despite me riling up a number of senior leadership team people at West Ham. They keep on saying, we haven't made a final decision. We haven't made a final decision. The end of last week was when the Premier League protocols came. Nothing. Nothing at all. Emailed them. Nothing. Gone to very senior people. We're looking into it. Nothing. You know, let's be honest. Be honest about it. Be transparent. I said procrastination, kicking the can down the road. They made their decision years ago that they wanted this to happen.
Years ago.
We know that for a fact.
Bullshitting supporters. Yeah. Stop bullshitting me and telling we haven't made a final decision. Yes, you have bloody made a final decision and you've decided to have digital season tickets on phones with paper backup, with some small recompense of having a dedicated window to print them out for those who don't have access to technology. I think it's a cop-out. I know my views on this are well known, but they ain't listening. They're not listening to their customers.
The thing is, what the club, and this is the thing, that the ISC, for me, I know the ISC have put this to the club and the club have ignored them. Now, on when you think this is something that affects every supporter, so if they don't listen to the ISC feedback on something that affects every supporter and just go their own way like they were doing from the start, then I would say, what is the point of the OSC? Your SAB Mark VI. And that's what it is. Because the reason why I stopped with it was because, you know, I told the people what I thought of them in the beginning. I told them that how rubbish they were. And I complained from inside about our, you know, all the SAB achieved at the bowling ground was we put T-shirts on the sheet of the seats at the last game. We had a little bit to do with the events of the last season, and we acquired new bubble machines.
Yeah.
Apart from that, you know, so this is a big thing for supporters. The club have ignored it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it affects everybody.
Yeah, and so therefore, it's like I would put to the ISC people, now, what are you going to do?
Well, no, I'm not sure they can do anything. You know, I've lobbied as hard as I can.
The thing I don't like, I'm not, the thing is, why do we never see what happened, the minutes? Now, the club used to put minutes up at the SAB meetings.
Yeah, no.
Do they put minutes of the meetings
up? Yeah, the minutes
are
there, but they don't publish them. The individuals do. So West Ham Supporters Club, which you remember, published the minutes. So the Pride of Iron, so do Wissa, so do Hammers United. I think they all publish minutes. But there's only two minuted meetings available. I think there will be a third one soon. But I don't think everything goes in those minutes, but the minutes are written by the members, who are not allowed to talk to me, by the way.
They've
had a collective agreement not to talk to me or Aaron or you. Fair enough. Again, personal choice.
Yeah, might be a personal choice for you, but what I would say to them if they're listening is, if you can't handle Sean and Hugh, what chance have you got against Karen Brady?
Good point. Well made.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to talk to fans, believe it or not, I know that don't listen to the angry 100 on Twitter. You know, there's tens of thousands of West Ham fans, not me, I will add. I sometimes get tricked into it, but generally I can resist. Do read Claret and Hugh. So, for me, for them to ignore possibly one of the biggest West Ham outlets going, you know, I understand why they do it.
Nor is they just don't want to talk to us because they don't want it reported. But
this is the thing.
You might like to know what's happening.
And word will be out there. No disrespect to them, but people don't go on their websites to read the minutes. I report the minutes when they're published. That's the difference. I give them an outlet, I believe.
I fully understand their stance, to be fair, Sean.
Yeah, I understand their stance as well. But listen, to be frank, I asked you in the last podcast 2 weeks ago who represents me, Hammers United. I've let Hammers United know my feelings and my opinion and stuff, and they haven't replied.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So don't really feel like they're representing me too much. And you're saying that, you know, they want to keep themselves. The idea was they represent us. Well, I don't feel like they are, frankly. Yeah. I know I'm an awkward customer. I'm sorry about that. That's the way
I think all three of us
made,
could be described as awkward customers. Anyway, should we talk a little bit of transfers? Because that's what people
want
as well.
First of all, look, I've been getting a lot of grief about, you said there was 55 million, you said there was 85 million, now there's no money, blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, I didn't say there was no money, so I don't know where that's come from. You know, I get told certain.
Yeah, you've
budgets,
given us three or four figures. That's very unfair, isn't it?
But let's look at it, right? West Ham have been through, like all clubs have, problem with cash flow, right? That's why they had £30 million rights issue. That's why they borrowed £20 million from Barclays Bank. That's why they sold the Allaire debt. Or the money owed from Ajax to another bank, an Australian bank called Macquarie. You know, these are all cash flow issues. But let's not forget that they took out an overdraft, a credit facility of 120 million, paid over 5 years, from Michael Dell's company called MSD Holdings. Now, although some of that's been used to pay off the previous credit facility with Media Rights and Holdings, Michael Tabor's company, and the Barclays loan, there's still a chunk of it left, right? Well over half of it left. So money's available. And then the next thing you got to, when people go, oh, 80 million, you said 80 million, you said 85, etc. Look, money's available for what is needed. But when you forget about 80 million, figure's not important, because 80 million really equates to, most deals are done 4 or 5 years, but particularly the kind of player that David Moyes wants is a young player, and you sign him over a 4 or 5 or even 6 year contract. The way it works, no money up front. There is money up front, but it's split into 4 or 5. So basically, you have to pay 20% or 30% up front. Well, to spend £80 million, right? And there's still time to spend that. You need about £20 million, right? £20 million up front. We could easily borrow that from the media. Sorry, the MS Michael Dell's overdraft facility. We could easily do it. Money is available. My understanding is, right, I'm not throwing David Moyes under the bus, it's bloody difficult to get players, particularly a striker. Everybody wants a really good striker, and all the clubs want to sell their crap strikers, right? Yeah. And good strikers, people find it difficult to get hold of. That's why Man City are going to pay 160 million for Harry Kane, right? And 400 grand a week. You know, you could say, well, Tammy Abraham's available. Yeah, but he wants 150 grand a week. If you start paying 150 grand a week, what does that do to all the other people? So David Moyes is desperate to find a striker. We're looking at a goalkeeper. We've been linked with 3 different goalkeepers. We're looking for a centre-back. We're looking for a midfielder. It looks like Jesse Lingard's not going to come, but Pereira could come from West Brom. And they're working hard. Now, what I got told, and well, David Moyes said over the weekend, I haven't got a great update to give you on transfers. That's true. Nothing is close as it stands. But this morning, I also got told we've got no bids in for anyone, right? So that was this morning. But this afternoon, and I can't go into complete details, there's reason to believe there is light at the end of the tunnel. Suddenly, there's been a shift this afternoon in us working on some active deals, and I can't go in any more details than that, but I promise you now, there has been a complete change in the last few hours that means some deal or deals are being worked on from now to the end of August, and I think we will start seeing some action now. And I think that let's not blame it on David Moyes being a diva or doing too much due diligence. Let's not blame it on the board not putting their hands in the pocket or only wanting to do loan deals. Let's let them get on with it. You know, collectively, they're going to be judged, both the board and the manager, on how well they do next season. And they know they've got one of the smallest squads. They know they need to invest. So let them get on with it and see how they do, rather than all this moaning. I've even got people moaning, going, why are we always looking for a loan with an option to buy? Every manager would do a loan with an option to buy, given the chance, because guess what? That means a try before you buy, not committing money up front for a player of 40, 50 million pound or whatever. Why wouldn't you do it? I don't get it. I don't get the mentality. And I know I'm going to say it's a Twitter mentality, but that's where I see most of these people. And I'll rest my case there. I'll rest my case there. But watch this space. I think something's about to change in the next few weeks. Are you still awake?
Mm. Yes.
You didn't say much, really, though,
Sean. I am. I'm saying respond. That we're not in for anyone. We've got no bids in, but we definitely, I've seen literally in the last few hours before I come in, something's being worked on, or multiple things are being worked on. And that I haven't seen anything for the whole summer. You know, it's been a very laid back, we got time, and suddenly everything sprung into action in the last few hours. That excites me. And I don't know names, and I don't know which deals are being worked on, but something's happening.
All right.
Nigel, I know last year, when we were in the same position and we weren't signing anyone, you said, don't matter. Well, how do you feel this year?
This year, evolution rather than revolution. I'd like to see two or three brought in, but two or three players that are going to be pushing for the first team, not the youngsters with potential. So the Pereira, sort of a Payet style player, but from what I can remember of him at West Brom, well liked at West Brom. Obviously, looks like he could be out. Abdoulaye Simmer, the Czech bloke, or I don't know if he's Czech, but obviously he's playing in Prague. Could be a good one. I know there was talk of him that the Czechs were on Twitter saying it looks like he's going to leave. And West Ham were one of the clubs interested. So whether that is, you know, another one to come in, even though Simmer to me looks like a Peter Crouch type of player. And we've, you know, I don't know if that fits in with the way that we play. So I see a really funny thing today that apparently we're linked with Martial. I mean, like, Anthony Martial was going to come and play for us. You know, he'd have a lot bigger teams queuing up to play.
Was he valued at 58 million quid?
I don't know. You know, I saw someone today. I'll tell you the one player who I think... The thing about Liverpool is apparently Liverpool have hit their quota of foreign registered players for their squad.
I've heard that, yeah.
So they've got to offload. Now, Shaqiri will be one of them. Divock Origi.
Oxley Chamberlain's been linked today.
Yes, I know, but the thing about that is he's not one of the foreign ones. They've got to offload.
Yeah,
and I can't see how they could be linked with Bowen if they're going to offload Oxley Chamberlain. Two very similar players, probably equal ability, maybe, if I'm being kind to Bowen. But Shaqiri had a good Euros, and I think could be a good player. And apparently, yeah. 15 million will get him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are some out there, and Moyes we trust. Phil Jones, by the way, anyone? Free transfer?
I mean, look, we need a defender, especially with the way it looks like with Ogbonna. So, Phil Jones, if he was good enough for Fergie to sign and Fergie to play at the back of Man United, and while we joked that him and Smalling were possibly the worst pairing Man United had at the back, they still won trophies with them.
Yeah. He hasn't played. I don't think he's played for
Manchester United since that's the one thing.
January 2020.
So him, you would try before you buy.
Yeah. I think it could be a loan. They're either talking about a free.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to buy him.
He's on 100 grand a week, so you would have to get them.
He fits in with our wages, isn't he?
You would have to get him subsidised. You know, they're trying to get rid of him, but actually finding that no one wants to take him at 100 grand a week.
Separately, and this is the thing, this is the problem. Years ago, we would pick players up off of the better teams.
Yeah.
The problem is now, is that the big six, to coin a phrase, 5+1, whatever we call it, I don't even think Tottenham pay the wages. Let's go with the big five. Their wage structure far exceeds what other Premier League clubs can afford.
Yeah.
So it's all right then.
Four, isn't it? Because Spurs don't pay over the odds, nor do Arsenal. It really is only.
No, hold up, Mr. 300 grand. Listen, they were giving the German 300 grand a week.
Who?
So I beg to differ.
Who?
Ozil.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, so usually both Spurs.
No. Yeah, Arsenal, that was under Wenger, right? Yeah, you're judging Arsenal.
Yeah, maybe.
Wenger.
Maybe.
Now, they throw money at players. Yeah, Aubameyang's on big money. So those five clubs, when they put on the stars on 300 grand a week, I'm going to be a bit harsh. The also Rans are going to be on 150 grand a week. But what that does is, when they decide, I want first team football, don't want to be a squad player, so I want to go and play for a West Ham or an Aston Villa, and we're looking at their wages going, mate, you've got to take a wage cut. And they're like, well, hold up a minute. This is the thing. And the one thing I don't like is that the footballers, the football players and their agents are carrying down the road like COVID's never happened, i.e. in the wages that they are demanding. And I'm sorry, if the club owners collectively, and I know they won't, should make a stand against it, because everybody else has been bloody affected by this. They bloody haven't. And the fact that I read players, and I know it's paper talk, like Tammy Abrahams, he's on 80 grand a week, but he wants 120 now. you know. Oh, well, that's nice, isn't it? 40 grand a week, which is more than a nurse earns in a year. Yeah, so in 52 weeks, that extra 40 grand that he'll earn would be more than that nurse will probably earn in her lifetime. And I know it, you shouldn't compare things like that.
Yeah.
But until Premier League footballers get told, get back in your box, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something will happen. So if we don't sign anyone because footballers want too much money,
yeah,
so be it. And let's face it, who else has strengthened? Are we being left behind? Not at the moment, we're not.
Well, funny you should say that, because we ran how much money other clubs have spent, and it's not that much. I mean, the whole 200 million has been spent, I think, in the Premier League, and 73 of that was with one player for Manchester United. You know, it's not, or is it 200 outside of the 73? I can't remember. But when you look at, and I think we looked at the TalkSport one, you know, it's not, there's not a lot of money being spent out there.
No, because clubs are having to, clubs are having to cut the cloths accordingly. They haven't got, you know, the, I saw someone on Twitter banned about 100 million loss. You know, West Ham, I don't believe, has lost 100 million. But I could believe at the end of this COVID that they'll come out with a 40, 50 million pound loss.
Well, no, because of COVID. I don't think it'll be that much, because I don't know if you read the post on KUMB.
If it's on Clarity and UE.
You know, on KUMB. Actually, it was spot on. Whoever this Prezzer is, what he wrote is spot on. And so I think, yeah, that is. I'm just saying, Arsenal, two players, just over £23 million. Aston Villa, £33 million on one player. The other one was a freebie. Brentford spent £9 million, 14, so that's 23, £24 million on three players. Burnley, £12 million on one player. Other one was free. Chelsea, nobody. They've signed zero. Crystal Palace, 8 million and a 21. They've spent 29 million. Everton, two freebies and one for 1.7 million. So they spent 1.7 million. Leeds have spent 11 and a half and 13. So what's that? 24 and a half, nearly 25 million. Getting down. Leicester have spent 40 million on two players with one freebie on top of that. Liverpool, £35 million on one player. Man City, they've only spent 13.5 million on two players. One 9 million, one 4.5. Man United was 73 million on one player, plus a freebie, Sancho. Newcastle, zero. They haven't done any business at all. Norwich have spent 10 million pounds, another seven. Another three, that's 20. 28 million on four players, which they have to, coming back up. Southampton, £11 million on one player and a freebie, with Theo Walcott joining them. Watford, they've spent about £12.5 million on two players. The rest of them have been freebies. And West Ham, £2.2 million on Dawson. Two freebies on the Chelsea guy and the Celtic guy. Reading was about £250,000, and we're about to bring in the Glasgow Rangers some goalkeeper, I think, on a free as well. Wolves finally have spent just over £22 million as well. So you know, if we think that everybody's running away and spending 80 million, that's not true beyond the, you know, the big boys. It's a tough market out there, and it's difficult to find quality players.
The thing is, if you look back at the thing, you know me, I like to look back in history. So if you look back to 85, 86, which, you know, the best season in West Ham's history, failed to strengthen correctly the next year. And after a good start, tailed away, finished mid-table. Then, if you look back to 15, 16, more recent times, went into that stadium, you can't say we didn't spend money going into that stadium, because we did. Yeah.
We just bought a load of shite.
Yeah.
We spent, didn't we buy five or six players and brought in Zaza on loan, Norvite, Gokhantur. You know, there was about five or six players that we brought in, and hardly any of them did anything. So, there's two warnings from history there. Don't, you know, invest and it don't work. Invest wrongly, you know, it don't work. So, in a way, I think Moyes is right in being more selective with the players that he wants to bring in, because he obviously wants them to play a certain way.
Well, the Saints boss said something as well, and I'm trying to remember what he said, but I can always... Ralph, isn't it? Is it Ralph?
Ralph Huston.
That's the one. What Huston he Tyler, said, he basically said there's some... the lack of investment. He sort of nailed it, and he said... at the moment, in the transfer money market, no one has money. Everybody wants the most money for his players when they sell, so it keeps everything on hold. Therefore, a lot of players are letting their contracts run down and leave without any money. This money is what smaller clubs are missing. So he basically talks about it's a domino effect, and I've heard this before, that... basically, although the big clubs are spending money, it's the small clubs that need to have this churn of moving around for the whole system to work. And that's not happening at the moment. The small clubs don't have money, and people aren't buying their players either because they don't want to pay the other money. And the whole sort of ecosystem breaks down. And I think there is something in that. I mean, I know people don't want to hear this and go, oh, yeah, the board aren't spending. They're not backing the manager. The manager is being... divering, whatever. But, you know, sometimes it is just that the market's not moving. I've said this before, let's not just fill the seats with anyone. Let's not just fill the squad. The manager keeps on saying, and he said at the weekend, I want quality that will improve the squad. I don't want to bring in someone who just is just as good, you know, and just move the seats around.
Mm.
Anyway, we're only a few weeks away. We're 2 weeks away. I'll be in Spain by then.
So. Well, 3 weeks, isn't it?
3 weeks. 2 weeks for, you're right, 2 weeks for the Betway Cup and 3 weeks for Newcastle away. Excited?
I will be once we're into the main season. Hopefully it'll be a lot of work for me, but we'll live to see. Yeah. And in a way, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
I've gone a bit old fashioned. I'm trying to ignore social media.
Good.
As such that obviously people will, you know, it's a broad church, isn't it? At the end of the day, you know, you're gonna have your GSB out.
Yeah.
You know, that everything they say goes back to that. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I fully understand, where they're coming from in that regard. Fundamentally, there has been a mismanagement of the club. I don't think even you could argue against that.
There's been some mistakes. I've never denied that.
Then you got the... Well, yeah, if only... then you got the fence sitters, and so it's good to read. I like the people I follow on Twitter. It's rare that I block anyone. It's rare that, in fact, it's unheard of. I don't think I've blocked anyone. I've muted a couple of people because I got fed up with their constant negativity. Chief Scout being one.
Don't have a go at him. He's all right.
Yeah, you know he can't take it.
It's a rocky road we go down.
I like Rocky. Don't give him a hard time.
It's funny because I like rambles. So
oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I think he's funny
rambles. With it. Rambles. Yeah, he goes down
the road. I see, it's full. The big accounts that are all Central's disappeared. West Ham News, that used to be the big one with 65,000, disappeared for copyright breach. Now Central's gone. That just
copyright breach,
transfer.
I heard. Didn't it?
Yeah, West Ham transfer.
So what does that mean
if you keep on showing goals that belong to someone else, and you're a big account, in the end you lose your account. You know, I'm sure he'll be back, but if you're abusive to people and you keep on doing copyright, you get strikes, and in the end you're thrown out. You can't just do what you want.
Oh, all right.
Anyhow, we said we're only doing an hour today.
Has he got a job yet?
I assume we're not doing a question tonight.
I'll tell you what, let's quickly...
We could do the first three, yeah? Or four.
Did you put out a question?
No.
Oh, good.
But I did get sent one.
All right, well, you can
last week.
You can do that.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Is it good?
All right. He has text this week, so it's Johnny Goodman.
Yeah.
Johnny B. Goodman.
Oh, hang on. I feel I should...
Johnny B. Goodman. Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah. I just felt I had to play the jingle. Go on.
Yeah, that made me feel better.
Good. I'm glad. Then.
So, yeah, it is Johnny B. Goodman. So, he says, good evening, my fellow Tanner. Amers, obviously, and Sean, he says. Questions for tonight, which I think does carry over, actually, and I did say to him last week, I've got a funny feeling we can carry this over, is, in your opinions, what are the main causes of the fans' hysteria over a lack of transfer activity? Keep up the good work. Brady out.
Good question.
Brady out.
So, main causes of the fans' hysteria.
Can I go first?
Well, since I think you're one of the main causes, you can get the first crack.
I think it's as simple as results on the pitch matter. People will say, no, it's about the stadium and everything else. Results on the pitch matter. We overachieved last season with a small squad, right? And the expectation was, it's all about managing expectations. We would solve that in the summer, right? Let's get our business done early. They haven't done that, right? It's a difficult market. The expectations are, we finished six. We finished 3 points away from the Champions League. What did David Moyes say on Saturday before the game? On Premier Sport, he said, we want to go one better. We want to improve. We want additions. We want to improve. We want to get those extra 3 points to qualify for the Champions League. Great. Whatever West Ham wants to hear. Ambition, ambition, ambition. What fans are saying is, back up that ambition by actually bringing... It's a long... Everybody knows it's a long season. Let's not undo all the good work from last season by not investing in the squad. For those who are GSB out, they will blame the board, saying the board aren't backing the manager. For those who may be a little bit neutral, will know it's a blend of different things. Both COVID affecting the market, the manager being quite particular who he brings in, and other external factors. So that's why people are up in arms. They believe, and I know you're going to say, oh, it's because you set expectations of 85 million transfer budget. I think that transfer budget is available for the right players. So therefore, that's what I think the problem is.
I mean, I think people just like to see, well, to receive news, first of all, see what they perceive as progress. And I guess that people are just a little bit impatient close season because not much is happening. You know, I think it's become a new thing that's become normal. I'm trying not to say it's become the new normal, but what I'm just trying to say is...
Oh, go on, say it.
No, I just did, really.
You did.
What it is now the expectation of improving is bringing on that old cliche of that if you're not improving, you're standing still. But I don't think you're doing certain players justice, because players can't get better under Moyes. So we'll see.
Nigel, come on. This is. I'm waiting for this. I know where you're going. Go on.
No,
come on, mate.
It's not about throwing you under the bus.
Go on, I'm waiting for it. Come on, I can take it.
It's throwing you all under the bus in a way. The rise of social media and the rise of the big accounts and the websites that trade off of getting stories out there, so need to constantly churn out the stories on the or have to constantly supply news to people. I think cause a 24. Problem. But then at the end of the day,
7 rolling news.
A lot of people want to know. And this is the thing. It was a chicken and egg thing. I think you've created your own bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now you've created the bubble. There's so many people that want to be in the bubble. You sort of keep going. So you self-perpetuate yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But stay off social media then. If you're
I don't need to stay off. But what I'm saying is that I understand it, so I don't get hung up on about it.
All right.
In the past, I may have gone to people, what does it matter? Now I'm thinking, well, look, if it matters to you, fair play to you. Matter to me.
So if you don't believe anything, then just set your mind to that and go, I only believe it when it's on the website. But it's hilarious to me, right? And I had John earlier saying, don't believe everything you said, right? When we were travelling to your wedding, we spent a long time going backwards.
Weren't my wedding.
Your daughter's wedding, and we spent a long time in the car talking. And he said, well, the problem with you is you believe everything you're told from the club. But equally, you know, the information that's in Football Insider, right, or these papers, or these ITKs, etc., is equally suspect, you know? You can't pick sides. You can't just go, well, I don't believe anything Sullivan Gold or any of your senior sources say, but I do believe Football Insider. Why? Equally with all contempt. I mean, this story, by the way, just to say, Joe Bowen is not going to Liverpool. There's been no inquiries. There's nothing about this. This is a completely made up. Klopp is not going to buy Joe Bowen. It's not going to happen. But people go, well, it's going to happen. You know, this Soufal. There's a little bit of in the Soufal. But, you know, is he unhappy and he's about to walk out? Declan Rice, you know, the stories, because he's in the media at the moment with England and, you know, there's still no inquiries, not a single inquiry, not a single bid yet. If you were to read the papers, you'd think he's you know, he's on 200, he's walking into Chelsea next week on 200 grand a week and they're about to pay over 100 million. No.
But on the Declan Rice, is there truth to it, though?
Is there truth to what's been reported? That his dad is briefing the media. Yes, there is truth in that. But Declan Rice has not said a single word, not a dicky bird, not a single word. And he hasn't done anything to disrespect the badge or disrespect West Ham. His agent's job, which happens to be his dad, his agent's job is to try and get the best deal for his client. And he may be playing the game, he may be feeding the press, whatever. You know, it's interesting what's coming out from Matt Law at the moment. That's all I'll say. But as long as he doesn't turn his head, he's still a West Ham player. He's still contracted for 3 years. He's on in the holiday in Ibiza. He's coming back to West Ham soon. He's still a West Ham player. My view is he won't go this summer.
Nothing still don't to... like you.
That's not true. That's not true.
It's not true. No.
It's not true. Okay. That's not true. I don't know him.
No, I know.
You love to just stir, don't you?
It's not true. He put a little kiss on the message at the end. If you look closer, yeah.
And I hope you know, he put the irons. Did you see the irons at the end on this message?
I did,
as well?
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, Twitter, just going on that since you brought it up, I think it was wrong on Twitter to have a go at his missus. You know, Lauren's a nice girl. She's been with him since, I don't know, 15 or 16. I can't remember. Chessington lass, unkind comment.
Look at the age of the people. I would throw it at the thing without seeing. I would guess the age of the people making the comments were under 25.
Yeah, possibly, but it's just no way to treat one of you.
No,
but you know that goes on. But you know.
But I bet a lot of it, they weren't West Ham fans.
Well, they did seem to be, actually. I mean, the picture's already been published in the tabloids, in the Mirror and the Star and the
Yeah,
Sun,
but as someone pointed out, that when they're published in the Mirror, the Star and the whatever, people cannot comment underneath.
Yeah, but that was you. When you say someone pointed out, that was you that pointed that out.
Well, it was me. But
oh, was it?
It was, yes. Yeah, it weren't me.
Sorry,
yeah.
Lynn. Sorry, Lynn.
But he thought it as well.
Yeah. Anyway,
I thought I pointed out that they're the gutter press, but then obviously I stopped typing that message when I realised, obviously, who I was talking to.
Yeah. Anyway, we're at the hour, Mark. We said we're going to do an hour, and I've got something to do, and I know you've got an important point. Is there anything else we want to say before we say our goodbyes and do our predictions for the bees?
I believe that the Brentford game, if you are about, is on BT Sport.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, good, huh?
I believe I thought I'd get in before the Cub do, but even though I've got till Friday to tell you.
probably took you 10 or 15 minutes before the game.
Yeah, and you've got to register. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, that to me highlights, realistically, the fact that the club send that out on a Friday afternoon highlights the flow of information to the fans that's supposed to be of utmost importance is sadly lacking. It leads me to the point that the people that are doing that don't understand West Ham fans and don't understand football.
Yeah.
The thing about football is it's such a big business now. Where before, to work for a football club, you were a football fan, predominantly a fan of the club. Now, because it's big business, there are people that really probably are not big fans of football that go and get a job in for it because it's a good career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you're getting here is career people that think with their brain coming up against football that think emotionally. And until you get more football people in those positions, I see West Ham are advertising for a support liaison officer.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know if Jake's on his way out. Perhaps
no, he's not. No, I looked at
no,
that.
No, not
he's,
going back to Tottenham.
I did look at that. No? So I looked at whether Jake was, but he's now head of customer services and this person will report to him. So I thought that as well, and I looked it up and saw he's now head of.
You know, because ideally, that would be a job I would love to do. Yeah, but one, I've applied for it in the past and the club won't give it to me. Not because I'm not qualified, but perhaps because of who I am. But unless they get someone like me, they're forever going to have this problem. No disrespect to Jake, let's put it right. He ain't a Tottenham...
leave Jake alone.
I've found a slip of the tongue, I didn't mean to say that. He's a West Ham... He's not a West Ham fan.
Well, do you know what? He is a West Ham fan. Let me tell you...
Oh, piss off.
Let me tell you, there's a number of people...
You're going to tell me Rob's a West Ham fan next.
There are a number of people who work for West Ham that have now support West Ham because they live in Brentford.
Listen, it don't work like that. Sean, go away now.
About Jake. Yes, I'm talking about Ben. Yes, I'm talking about Jordy. Go away. If you talk to them, and I have talked to them, they watch West Ham. They live and breathe West Ham. Their mortgages are paid by West Ham. They are West Ham.
Yeah, but that's why. Right, that's why. When they leave West Ham...
They're emotionally invested in West Ham.
Hold up. When they leave West Ham... Yeah, will they be the ultimate cheerleaders for West Ham?
No.
Maybe with Jordy Ben, right? Hold up, because he's been here a long time.
Yeah.
30 years and counting, near enough.
I think they will always have a soft spot.
He'll have a soft spot. There's a difference, Sean. I've got, a soft spot, for Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to suddenly...
Don't say everyone has to be a West Ham fan to do the job.
What I'm saying, hold up. If you're a supporter liaison officer, surely it would be beneficial to be a West Ham fan, to have gone through the trials and tribulations of supporting the club, to understand it, to be that legend. But I'll tell you why they would never give a job to a West Ham fan. Because they couldn't control their emotions.
Yeah, that's right.
The owners, Brady and Tara, can control the non-West Ham supporter liaison officer because he's not emotionally attached to it.
I do think he is emotionally attached. Anyway, we're going off the subject slightly. Yeah. One thing I forgot to mention Matt Beard, who is supposed to be on this takeover. I think I don't know if we discussed the takeover, but basically the informal email offering some money, but no proof. He started following me on Twitter, so I have messaged him. So Matt Beard, who was the former CEO of QPR, he was a former O2 person.
People that offered the £400 million but didn't show any funds.
Yeah, that's the one. So he started following me on Twitter after I wrote various stories about him. So I did try and engage him, and I said, look, you know, all right, Matt, two sides of one every story.
Isn't Matt the old, I think you got the name wrong, and Matt Beard's the old woman, the lady.
Oh, yeah, Josh, right. No. Sorry, Phil. His name's Phil Beard. Matt Beard is the manager of West Ham Women. You're right, it's Philip Beard is the person I'm talking about. And he started following me, not Matt Beard, on Twitter.
Phil Beard, that sounds like a chin scratcher.
He won't engage with me so far. He's read the message, but he's not engaging with me. Probably quite right, but
you ain't got the money, is he?
As I've said, well, I think he's a bit upset about that. But you know, David Sullivan has gone on the record now to the BBC and others that you know this investment story from the Football Insider saying they're desperate to sell 40% because, you know, West Ham's in trouble in the next 2 months. What a load of old balderdash. They have been looking for investors from day one. They bought on Terry Brown. They bought on Daniel Harris and the Harris family. They bought on Tripp Smith. And you know what? If someone comes with a chunk of money that's a West Ham and cares about the club, they want other investors to share the load. But West Ham have been structured. You might say a lot of things, right? But the finance department have well structured that club to make sure it's sustainable in the way they've got these loans and the way they've structured the rights issue. They've all done it for the best, you know, interest of the club. And unlike other clubs, we have an overspend and we're not about to go down the tubes if we don't find an investor. I'm sorry, but I'm going to call that bullshit. And Football Insider get paid for exclusives. So, again, another one not to believe. Anyway, we've gone well over our time tonight because I know you've got to go somewhere, both of you. Can we ask for predictions for the bees? Bzzz. Nigel?
All right. I'll go with a Desmond.
2-2.
Yeah.
Len?
No, I think we're going to beat him 2-0.
All right. Well, that leaves me a 1-0. Although, do you know what? Now I'm going to go 3-0 because I just feel we're full of confidence. I think he's going to, like last game, he's going to line up with his best. I think Yarmolenko might be back.
That certainly ain't their best.
I don't know if Suchet might be back. So may Soufal. I don't think...
Declan?
Declan won't be back, no, in time. He's on his last week. He's in Ibiza, as you know, with his lovely, gorgeous girlfriend.
He was in. He was in Mykonos.
He was
first.
He got a private jet with Mason.
Private boat. He was on the basket, playing basketball with a Greek Cypriot billionaire. And I'll leave it there. Of some repute.
Yeah.
So Declan, if you're listening, mate, because I know you listen, you obviously follow Sean. Just choose your friends carefully, son.
Yeah. You think twice or you hand them kisses out too, Declan.
Anyway, I've been Sean. Nigel has been...
Nigel. Collate in my England football programme collection.
And Len has been...
Len, if he's going to be Nigel. How about
By the
that?
Way... Sorted out that interview with a prominent agent for you, Nigel, tonight. So,
did you?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, good.
Yeah. Come on, you Irons.
It's Bairstow Thieves.
Bobby Moore.
Bairstow Thieves, as we know.
You're going to talk about Bobby Moore. Days,
more than just a podcast.
I'll talk about his silky skills.
Back next week. Before I go on my house.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.